So let's begin with omega-3. Omega-3 is what's called an essential fatty acid. Whenever you see the word essential, it means the body cannot make it. You've got to put it in. The fact is, no creature can make omega-3. Only plants can. And yet, what are we told is the highest source of omega-3? Fish. But fish can't make it. So why are fish high? Because they eat a one-celled algae that is high. So we're getting the second-hand omega-3 when we get it through fish. And by the way, the fish that are the highest are also have the highest amount of mercury, dioxin in them. We can do superior to fish. We can get it from our food. Flaxseed or linseed is the highest source, and chia is not far behind. There is much confusion over fat. As I mentioned earlier, Ansel Keys in 1953, he first put forward the theory, notice what I said, theory, that fat causes heart disease. It has never been proven. A fat's good, a fat's bad. I have endeavoured to show you in this series that fat is an essential part of the diet. It is an essential part of the function of the human body, but also of the anatomy of the human body. The brain is the fattiest organ in the body. But there are fats that are damaging. There are also fats that heal. Udo Rasmus, in his best-selling book, the title is Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. I read this book, and it's a fascinating book. And what I'd like to do today is I want to take you to the inside of the fat. I want to take you to the molecular structure of the fat. When you understand the molecular structure of the fat, you begin to understand how the body uses it, where the body uses it, and why the body uses it. So let's begin with omega-3. Omega-3 is what's called an essential fatty acid. Whenever you see the word essential, it means the body cannot make it. You've got to put it in. The fact is, no creature can make omega-3. Only plants can. And yet, what are we told is the highest source of omega-3? Fish. But fish can't make it. So why are fish high? Because they eat a one-celled algae that is high. So we're getting the second-hand omega-3 when we get it through fish. And by the way, the fish that are the highest are also have the highest amount of mercury, dioxin in them. We can do superior to fish. We can get it from our food. Flaxseed or linseed is the highest source, and chia is not far behind. But let's have a look at what this omega-3 means. I have drawn an 18-chain fatty acid there, and the 3 indicates that at the third carbon atom, notice that there are hydrogen atoms either side, and right in the middle, they're all joined by a carbon atom. The 3 means that at the third carbon atom, there's a double bond. The double bond means like this. Instead of one bond, there are 2 bonds. And whenever you get a double bond, these hydrogen atoms go, and the hydrogen atoms underneath develop an electromagnetic field between them, which means they start repelling each other. This causes a kink in the chain. There are about 19 trillion in one drop of oil of the chain that I have drawn for you. In omega-3, there are 3 double bonds. So there's one, two, three, another one there, one, two, three, and another one there. So these hydrogen atoms are gone, and the hydrogen atoms underneath develop an electromagnetic field between them. So what this means is that there are 3 kinks in this fatty acid chain. And because there are three kinks in the fatty acid chain, that's produced an incredibly thin oil, a very fluid oil. What do the British paint their cricket bats with? Linseed oil, because it just flows so easily. It disperses easily. As a result, this is a great blood thinner. What it also can do, it helps disperse tumours in the body. Because of the three double bonds, it's a very thin oil. So this oil is called a polyunsaturated fatty acid. Poly meaning more than one double bond. Unsaturated because there are some empty spots on the fatty acid chain. Let's have a look at the effect of double bonds on the body. Double bonds create an electromagnetic field between them. That's important for us because we are electrical people. There's a spark of electricity in every cell in the body, and our electrical system specifically is our nervous system. Udo Rasmus, he shows in his books Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, he shows that they did postmortems on suicide victims and found that their brains had no omega-3 in it. Also, Dr. Neil Nedley, he spends a bit of time in his book Depression A Way Out showing the importance of omega-3 and brain function. Also, double bonds are heat sensitive. That means the heat is attracted to those empty spots. They are light sensitive. The light is attracted to those empty spots. And he refers to these double bonds as a magnet to oxygen. So the oxygen, the light and the heat, they're all attracted into those empty spots. So this is very volatile oil. In fact, if that seed is broken and the oil extracted, very quickly the light, heat and oxygen can destroy the oil. Sunflower is very high in omega-6. 6 indicates the position on this 18-chain fatty acid of the first double bond. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there are two double bonds in sunflower. 1, 2, 3, there's another one there. So you've got hydrogen atoms along here, and hydrogen atoms underneath. So you've got two kinks. It's not as thin an oil, but it's still a fairly thin oil. So this oil is called a polyunsaturated fatty acid. Poly meaning more than one double bond. Unsaturated because there are empty spots on the fatty acid chain. What about olive and almond? They're high in omega-9. 9 indicating the position on the fatty acid chain of the first double bond. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So our double bond is there. There's only one double bond in almond and olive, the omega-9. Hydrogen atoms along here. So you've got one repelling action. And I think we can all appreciate that olive oil is a very thick oil. So it's called a monounsaturated fatty acid. Mono meaning one double bond. Unsaturated because there is still an empty spot on the fatty acid chain. What about the coconut? These three are long chain fatty acids, 18 chains. Coconut is high in medium chain fatty acids and short chain fatty acids. So the short chain fatty acid is 6, 8, 10 chains. The medium chain is 12, 14, 16. So I've drawn a 10 chain here. There are no double bonds in the coconut. So every spot is full. And in the cold weather, this oil is solid. So it's called a saturated fat. So what's the best fat? Well, it all depends on which body function you're referring to, because the body uses them all, but it uses it for different functions. I'd like to show you how the different oils are digested, because that also gives us a little window into the oil and how it's used. Here is mouth, here is the esophagus, here is stomach, and just under our right rib is where our liver sits. Here is liver. And there is gallbladder under the liver. The bile duct that comes out of the gallbladder, it connects with the neck of the pancreas. So here's the pancreas here. Lining the small intestine, there are little villi. So I'm going to draw the villi here. Up the middle of the villi is a lacteal. That's part of your lymphatic system. And then the blood capillary network weaves all through the villi. Anything that goes into our gastrointestinal tract is not part of you or me until it's broken down into tiny substances and then absorbed through and into the blood. So the process of it breaking down and being absorbed into the blood is a very important process. We're going to devote a whole presentation to that a little later. In the mouth, the long-chain fatty acids are not broken down. In the stomach, they are not digested. But when they go through the pyloric sphincter and come into the duodenum, bile from the gallbladder emulsifies them down into tiny particles. And then they are further broken down by the pancreatic lipase. So bile from the gallbladder, which the bile is made in the liver, and then pancreatic lipase, they work together to break the fats down into tiny particles, and then they're absorbed through and straight into the lacteal. So these three long-chain fatty acids are absorbed from the gut into the lacteal, into the lymphatic system. They come to the thymus, then to the liver. The liver says, the surgeons have arrived, store them. Because of their beautiful fluidity, the body loves using these for cell membrane function and repair. But totally different is the coconut. Under the tongue, there are sublingual glands which release lingual lipase. And lingual lipase is an enzyme that breaks down short and medium chain fatty acids. So coconut is unique in that the breakdown begins in the mouth. Comes into the stomach, the breakdown's already happening. Comes down into the duodenum, no need for bile, no need for pancreatic lipase, and gets absorbed straight into the bloodstream. From the bloodstream, it goes to the liver. The liver loves burning the saturated fat as fuel. What an amazing process, and what an amazing oil. If somebody wanted to lose weight, would they eat an oil that the body burnt or an oil that the body stored? Burnt, of course. So the best oil to eat if you want to lose weight is actually the saturated fat. Remember what I said earlier, as Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, who wrote the book The Great Cholesterol Con, he said it's never been proven that the saturated fat causes heart disease. And if it had, and if stopping the fat stopped heart disease, it still wouldn't be the number one killer. One of the beauties of the coconut, its high and medium chain and short chain fatty acids, is the way that the liver breaks it down to ketones. And ketones are neurohealers. This explains why the ketogenic diet has been used since the 1920s to help conquer epilepsy. It's a high-fat diet because the liver breaks the fats down to ketones, and ketones are neurohealers. They are neuroprotectors. Dr. Bruce Fyfe, in his book Stop Autism Now and Stop Alzheimer's Now, he has many cases in there where he shows that the coconut has helped to heal neurological problems. So Stop Autism Now is about all child neurodegeneration. So that can be attention deficit syndrome, hyperactivity, autism, epilepsy. And in Stop Alzheimer's Now, he talks about all adult neurodegeneration, so that's Huntington's, chorea, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, also epilepsy. And I think it's about the third or fourth chapter in both of those books. The chapter's called The Ketone Miracle. And in The Ketone Miracle, he shows how the ketones are neurohealers, neuroprotectors. He calls his diet the coconut ketogenic diet, which is similar to what you've been hearing this week, although we don't advocate meat. He says, get the carbohydrates down. Here we go again. He said, high fiber, generous amounts of protein. We advocate legumes, nuts and seeds. He advocates meat and healthy fats. He says, start supplementing with a teaspoon of coconut oil three times a day if someone has any neurodegenerative problems. Build up to four teaspoons of coconut three times a day. And remember what the liver does. What the liver does is it converts those medium-chain fatty acids to ketones, and ketones are neurohealers, neuroprotectors. And that's why they're getting results. And by the way, no one dies of a heart attack or a stroke, and yet they're on a high-fat diet. I'm not advocating a high-fat diet, but can you see that it can be used medicinally for these neurological problems? So there might be a place. We had a young man had a brain tumour. Oh, he came to us. He was 19, maybe about 5 years ago. And so we were advocating that he have the coconut oil, or suggesting that he try it, but he didn't like the coconut oil. He found it very hard to have a spoonful of it. So our chef at the time, he mixed coconut oil and tahini and carob powder, and he made like little chocolates and he put them in the fridge. Well, he really liked those. We put a drop of peppermint oil in too, which made it nice. Because he was conquering cancer, we did not want to give him any sweet. But if you wanted to make them for someone that didn't have cancer, you could certainly put a little maple syrup in it too, and that would make it very nice. So the coconut, rather than being the enemy because it's a saturated fat, is a remarkable food. Dr. Bruce Fyfe has written quite a few books on the subjects. Miracle Oil, Coconut Oil, Coconut Cures. He's got a whole book on oil pulling. We talked about that earlier, how putting the coconut in your mouth and swishing it around for about 10 minutes and then releasing it out on the grass, not down the plug hole, and then rinsing your mouth with water. How it strengthens the gums, it can heal bleeding gums, it can heal infected gums. It's called oil pulling because it pulls waste out of the tongue, pulls waste out of the glands under the tongue, and pulls waste out of the blood vessels under the tongue. So a great little detox there. But his two books, Stop Autism Now and Stop Alzheimer's Now, are particularly helpful for people with those problems. In fact, I think every home should have those books. He also looks at the causes. So the first, I think, three or four chapters in Stop Autism Now, he shows very clearly the link between vaccines and autism, whereas in the Stop Alzheimer's Now, he looks at all the things that could cause the neurological damage in adults. And sometimes that is drugs, sometimes it's just physical damage, like Muhammad Ali, you know, he was battered quite a bit around the head, and he certainly had quite severe Alzheimer's in his latter years. So he looks at all the things that could contribute to that. I'd like to give you the omega-3 story because this helps to understand why so many are advocating the fish oils for their omega-3. The omega-3 that is found in flaxseed or linseed, chia, is called alpha-linolenic acid. Alpha-linolenic acid, as I showed you, has three double bonds. So that's one, two, three. It's very thin oil. In the body, ALA is converted to EPA, epicationic acid, and it has five double bonds. So that's one, two, three, four, five. In the body, EPA is converted to DHA, decahexaonic acid, and it has six double bonds. So that's a very fluid oil. One, two, three, four, five, six. And it is DHA that is used exclusively by the body for cell membrane function and repair. And you can see why. It's such a beautiful fluid oil and gives a lovely fluidness and yet suppleness and strength to the membrane around every cell in the body. The fish, it's ALA and it's one cell algae. In the fish, ALA is converted to EPA. In the fish, EPA is converted to DHA. Then man extracts the DHA and says, ah, this is far superior to getting your DHA through this method. But my question is, if three double bonds is sensitive to light, heat and oxygen, how sensitive is six double bonds? And the fish that are the highest in DHA are also the highest in mercury and dioxin. So I choose to get my omega-3s and 6s via the chia seed and the ground linseed. Can you have the flaxseed or linseed whole? You can, but most of it will just come out in the toilet. You need to grind it. But if you grind it, please grind it just before you use it, or grind it and put it in an airtight container in the freezer. Does chia need to be soaked? Ideally, you put it with water and get it to a soft gel. But some people prefer to just sprinkle it on their breakfast, so I leave it up to you. A lot of people are putting it into their smoothies for breakfast and enjoying it that way. So the omega-3s and the omega-6s are important. Remember, they're essential fatty acids, which means our body cannot make them, we have to put them in. Let's have a look at the fats people ate 100 years ago. Depends where you lived. The Bible was written around Europe, especially, of course, around probably Asia Minor. So you're looking at Italy, Greece, all those areas there. And the oils mostly used there, of course, are the olives. So the Bible talks predominantly about olive oil. See, in the middle of the planet, we've got the equator, and the countries that live closest to the equator, this is where the coconut is mostly grown. And so that's the oil of choice there, because it's just there. So the saturated fat is an excellent fat to be eating if you're living in a hot climate, because this saturated fat is heat resistant, light resistant, oxygen resistant. It's the most stable fat because it's not spoiled by the heat, light and oxygen, because it has no double bonds. And then we go up the planet and we come to the Mediterranean, which is around where the Bible was written, and you'll find the oils there are your omega-9. Perfectly designed for that area, not as stable as the coconut, but not as unstable as those other ones. It's the double bonds that determine the stability or the lack of. If you go up the planet, this is what you will find. You will find omega-6 foods grown more up there and omega-3s right up the top. So how do the Eskimos get their omega-3? They're in the plant, and of course the fish eat the plant, then the seals eat the fish, and so they're getting nice doses of the omega-3. And they're living in an area where it doesn't get much sun. But traditionally, they have not suffered from depression because they're eating high amounts of omega-3, which is giving them all of this. But today, in the European countries, there's a disease called the SAD disease, which is a disorder that is of the mind, seasonal affective disorder, it is, SAD. There never used to be seasonal affective disorder. So what's changed? What's changed is that people aren't eating their native diet anymore. When people are eating the foods that are grown in their areas, they're eating the fats that are perfectly designed for that area. So today in those northern countries, they can eat anything. A lot of people aren't farming anymore. They're not, you call it canning, not keeping the foods for the winter months, because they can get any food any time of the day. So what causes the SAD disease, seasonal affective disorder? It really is the SAD diet. What's the SAD diet? That's the standard American diet, which is almost totally deficient in these omegas. Udo Erasmus, he quotes a study that was done where they tested a plant grown in the Mediterranean. It was very high in omega-9. Same species of plant grown higher up, It was higher in omega-6. Same species of plant grown right up the top, and it was high in omega-3. In other words, these plants grown in specific areas are particularly designed for the body's needs in those areas. When I go to Fiji, which I have for about 15 years, and I'm speaking to them on health, I do not mention olive oil. There's no need to mention olive oil. It is too expensive for them. There's no need to have olive oil when they've got coconut trees everywhere and the coconut oil is easily made, it's easily extracted, and it's easily procured there. So depending on where I go to speak, I endeavour to speak on the foods that are grown in that area. And when you think about it, you're best to eat seasonally because the foods available at certain times of the year are perfectly designed for your body's needs in that time of the year. For instance, the avocado is harvested in the winter time, and that's a perfect food for the winter months because we need a little bit more fatty foods in those winter months. Let's continue our journey of looking at 100 years ago. So if you lived on the equator, it was only the coconut oil that you ate. And when I go to Fiji, the coconut is in every meal. It's almost every dish. In fact, last week we had a couple from, she was Samoan and he was Hawaiian. And they said, "You're right, when we were growing up as children, it's in every meal." So the white man came along and said, "Stop eating the coconut. It's a saturated fat. It's going to give you heart disease." And he introduced the five lethal whites. This is white rice, white flour and all of its products, white cow's milk, and white salt, and white rice. All of those foods are refined foods. And those, remember what I call them? The five lethal whites. And in the islands today, obesity is very common, diabetes, heart disease. It's not because they're eating coconut, it's because they've stopped the coconut. And I say to them, "Were your ancestors well?" They said, "Very well." They were very well. They were very well when they were eating the native foods and eating the coconut every meal. So there's our history. What about Bible? There's a story in the Bible. If you're a Bible student, you'll know it well. It's a story we tell our children. And it's the prophet Elijah. He had to go to King Ahab and said, "If you don't stop worshipping your idols, God's going to send no rain for 3 years. And then God said to him, "Quick, hide at the brook Cherith." Children love this story because the birds brought him food every day. And then the brook Cherith dried up. And so God said to Elijah, "Go to this little town. There's going to be a widow gathering sticks and she will feed you through the time of no rain." But God said something else. He said, "If she agrees to feed her, I will put a little bit of flour into her barrel and a little bit of oil into her cruse every morning." The lady agreed. She made the little cake, and this is exactly what Elijah said. He said, "God has said that the meal will not lack and the oil will not fail in the 3 years of no rain." Who put the oil in her cruse? Every morning there was a bit more oil in her cruse. God put her oil in her cruse. So God has put his seal on the olive oil. Depending where you live, depends on the oil that you eat. Now let's go to the northern countries of Europe. Let's go to Sweden and Norway and Switzerland. What have they traditionally eaten as their oils? It would probably mostly be cow's butter, yogurts and milks. And you know, way back then it was organic. And also because that's all they've ever had, their digestive tract can handle it. They have the enzymes there. I'm a fifth generation Australian. I don't think there was much dairy in my heritage because I have a bit of an intolerance to dairy. So a lot depends on where you come from. Professor Walter Veith gives a very interesting presentation on the cow's milk, and it's called Utterly Amazing. And he shows very clearly that depending on your heritage as to if you can handle the dairy. But the dairy today is not very healthy. Cows are given a lot of drugs. 80% of the antibiotics that are made are given to the cows. But also, as I have often said, cow's milk is excellent milk for baby calves. We are the only creature that drinks another creature's milk. If someone says to me, "What milk do you drink?" I say, "I'm weaned. I eat food." And really, that's what milk is for. It is for babies. So continuing on in our journey of looking what oils were eaten 100 years ago, again, depends where you lived. But having a look at the two oils that were used, which is coconut and olive, they've been used for thousands and thousands of years. And when you consider that, it's the coconut and the olive that are extracted from the flesh of the plant. I was in one of the little islands, Savu Savu, in Fiji, and a girl said, "I want to make you some coconut oil." She was about 20. She climbed the tree, she got the coconut, she opened it, she grated the coconut, she mixed it with water, she squeezed it out so we had the white milk, then she threw the fibre to the chooks, and then she heated it and it separated. So it's quite easy. No, I do not make my own coconut oil, and I do not extract my own olive oil because you can buy them very freely now. But the coconut oil has been used because it's so easily extracted. And the olive oil, all through Europe, women used to have their own little wooden presses where they would press the flesh of the olive to get the olive oil. But you know what those ladies found? If they pressed the olives and got their oil and put it in a bowl on the table, within a few hours, the oil had turned bitter because there is one double bond in olive oil. And it does get destroyed by the heat, light and oxygen. But they found that if they kept the oil in stone jars with lids in the basement in the cool, it retained its lovely, fresh, sweet flavour. But probably about maybe 80, 85 years ago, man developed high heat and chemical procedures to extract the oils out of hard seeds. So today you can buy all sorts of oils. You can buy peanut oil, safflower oil, grapeseed oil. You can get so many oils because with the development of this equipment, they could extract the oil from the hard seeds. But using heat equipment, it destroys the oil. And I look in the supermarket and you see plastic, clear plastic bottles with these oils in it. Well, they're already destroyed, so I guess it can go in a plastic bottle because there's nothing else to destroy. They're already destroyed. My suggestion is, for your oils, use the coconut or the olive. It depends on your taste. I personally prefer the olive. I don't eat a lot of it. I might eat a teaspoon a day at the most. It's a concentrated food. You do not need much. And I get my polyunsaturated fats from eating the seeds and the nuts. Udo Erasmus, in his book Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, he has a page where he shows all the different nuts and seeds and shows how they are all a combination of saturated omega-9, omega-6 and omega-3. For instance, olives are high in omega-9 and have a touch of 6 and a little bit of 3. Flaxseed is high in 3 with a touch of 6 and a little bit of 9. So eating a variety of nuts and seeds, you're getting a nice arrangement of the different fats and oils that our body needs. Remember, the body loves burning the saturated fat as fuel. That's why for a smoothie, it's great to add coconut cream or coconut milk, or sometimes people even will add a little coconut oil to their smoothies, because remember, the body loves burning it as fuel. It's a great high-energy food and a great additive to smoothies. With Ansel Keys presenting that the theory that saturated fat causes heart disease, that's when man came in and made margarines. How do they make a margarine? Let's say they're going to make margarine out of flaxseed. Well, the problem is it's liquid. So they have to saturate it with hydrogen ions to make it solid. And they need a catalyst, and the catalyst is either nickel or aluminium. And I think most people realize the danger of nickel and aluminium on brain health. They're contributing factors to Alzheimer's. So using the nickel or aluminium, they saturate it with hydrogen ions, and that destroys the double bonds. This hydrogen atom flips over here, this one flips over here, this one flips over here, which means we've now lost our repelling action, we've lost our double bond, and the oil is solid. If it says on the margarine that this is a polyunsaturated margarine, it's a lie. Because if it was, it would be liquid. So you will say to them, well, why do you say polyunsaturated margarine? And this is the answer. It was polyunsaturated before we saturated it. But the saturation process now has created a saturated fat. So the very fat that they're trying to get away from, they create. You're far better to have the natural saturated fats than the altered fats. When margarine goes into the body, it's almost as if the body says, alien from out of space has just entered, eliminate quickly. Skin cancer rates have risen because it'll throw it out via the skin. The research shows without any doubt, I think many people have seen the research for this, that margarine causes macular degeneration. In those fine little parts of the body, the eyes, the ears, the brain, this altered fat damages. It can cause damage to the area. So saturated fat is perfectly fine when it's naturally saturated, but if it has been created by this chemical process, then that is a dangerous fats. So what are the fats that kill? Fats that kill, the killer fats really are the margarines. If you're feeling sad right now because there's a margarine in your cupboard, sorry about that, but it really has to go. There's one margarine that is quite healthy, and that is Earth Balance, because what they've done to get the solid is they've mixed the oil with, and I think they use a bit of olive oil, maybe sunflower oil, and they've used it with a saturated fat, usually palm oil. Palm oil doesn't have the strong flavor of the coconut oil, or they might have used denatured coconut oil, so it doesn't have that strong coconut flavor. The problem is, and I've seen this on a few Earth Balance packets, is they have canola oil. Well, what's the problem with canola oil? Canola oil is high naturally in a fatty acid called uracic acid. And uracic acid is toxic to humans. So they've genetically modified the canola oil to produce less uracic acid. So now it gets the FDA tick. But now you've got a genetically modified product. It grows so easily, the canola oil, but now it is genetically modified, so that's a problem, because anything that's been genetically modified has the ability to have damage on our DNA. Canola oil is high in 3 and 6, but because it's extracted with heat, it's now destroyed. So when you're cooking, what can you sauté your onions in? What can you sauté your garlic in? Well, the best is the coconut, because it has no double bonds, so it's heat resistant. Only use a little bit. Our cook uses it. You'll be surprised how it loses that strong coconut flavour when it is warmed a little bit. And there are some delicious desserts that you can make. The raw cheesecakes and also slices made with coconut oil. They're delicious, and they have that beautiful way of melting in your mouth, made with the coconut oil. So they've become quite popular, is the raw desserts, the raw cheesecakes. And a lot of them use the coconut. So don't be scared of fats. Of course you can overdo the fats, but our palate basically tells us not to overdo the fats. It's not nice to have a whole lot of fat in something. Just have a little bit. It's a very concentrated food, and you do not need very much. So your polyunsaturated fats should come from here and they should be eaten in the food. So when margarine was introduced, and now we have an altered fat, because Ansel Keys' theory was taken on that fat causes disease, and people were told, stop the saturated fats, stop the butter, stop the coconut, and start eating margarine and using the polyunsaturated oils. Heart disease has not lessened because those polyunsaturated fats that are extracted using heat are damaged oils. And they have the ability to damage the arterial walls. That's the oil that can contribute to heart disease. And when that arterial wall is damaged, then the LDL cholesterol has to come on and plug up the hole or help to repair the damage from these dangerous fats. So I get all my polyunsaturated fats from the food I eat, and I have a little olive oil as part of my diet. Let's have a look at the triangle, the food triangle. When I was at school in the 60s, I went to a common sense cookery class, and we had a common sense cookery book, and it had a triangle in it. And the triangle on the bottom rung had meat and dairy. The next rung was grain. The next rung was fruit and vegetable, and right up the top were fats and sugars. Because of heart disease and because of Ansel Keys' theory that saturated fat causes heart disease, they changed the triangle in about the 80s. And when they changed the triangle, they put grains on the bottom. Because it was acknowledged that the protective nutrients that are in the fruit and vegetables, then fruit and vegetables were given a boost, and then meat and dairy was put here. The dairy industry and the meat industries were not very happy with that decision, and up the top is fats and sugars. But this high grain diet, which we've looked at a few times in these presentations, this high grain diet of cereal and toast for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, pasta for tea, donuts, cookies, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, it's causing a whole lot of problems. And it creates another type of fat. And we've looked at this a few times. The glucose is sent to the liver. It's sent to the cell to be burnt as fuel. It is stored as glycogen in the cell as our quick-release glucose stores. And the third place it is stored is as fat. So this high carbohydrate diet causes a lot of glucose, which can't all be used, and so now it's dumped as fat. That is a dangerous fat. So the most dangerous fats are the fat stores from too much sugar and carbohydrate, and the altered fats like your margarines, but also fried foods. Fried foods create a very fatty meal. So you call it French fries, we call it chips in Australia, scallops, maybe fish with batter. Because it is so fatty from cooking in these oils, they put a lot of sugar into the batter to try and mask that fattiness. So you're getting the fat from the batter and the sugar, and you're also getting those altered fats, which are very damaging and very dangerous, not only to the cells, particularly the cells that line the gastrointestinal tract. So these are big contributing factors to heart disease. It's not the coconut. If it was the coconut, when Captain Cook landed on those islands, the people would have been dying like flies from heart disease and strokes, but they weren't. And yet they had coconut every single meal. See how we have to use common sense here. So what is the best triangle? I believe the best triangle has fruit and vegetables on the bottom. No limit on the vegetables. For some people, depending on their health condition, the fruit would take a lesser part. So we're going to put a question mark with the fruit. If someone has a yeast presence, if they want to conquer their cancer, they want to lose weight, they want to conquer their diabetes, the fruit's a bit less. It's probably not a surprise to you to hear me say that the triangle I'm putting up only has three rungs. So the middle rung, legumes, excellent form of protein. Seeds, excellent form of protein and good fats. And the grain, I'm putting it right up the top of the middle triangle. Right up the top, we've got your oils, your olive oil, your coconut oil. We've got our nuts, honey, maple syrup, MS being maple syrup. I'd like to look at that triangle through a few different windows. Let's look at it through the liver window. We looked at the liver earlier in the week. Does it get a tick? The liver needs lots of beta-carotenes found in your orange and your yellow and your green-coloured vegetables. Well, there's your vegetables. It needs protein, so here's your protein in your legume, your seeds, your nuts. So looking at that through the liver window, it gets a tick. Let's have a look at it through the pH. We looked at the pH earlier today. What are your most alkalizing foods? Vegetables, greens. What are your most acid foods? Up the top, our oils, honeys. So it gets a tick from the pH. What about the colon? The colon needs to be swept every day. What sweeps the colon? Fiber. What's your highest fiber food? Vegetables. So it gets a tick. What about cost? What's your cheapest food? If you come out with a box of fruit and vegetables from Trader Joe's, you've got a big box, say for $50. If you come out of Trader Joe's with honeys, maple syrups, nuts and all, you've got a little box. So economically, your fruit and veggies are the cheapest. What about availability? There's always available your fruits and vegetables. So no matter how you look at this triangle, it gets a tick. The question often asked, looking at all of this, is where do we get our calcium? Because if you believe what the ads on the television tell you, we should be drinking cow's milk to get our calcium. So let's have a look at this cup of cow's milk. It's very high in protein and calcium. But that protein is dirty burning fuel. Only 58% is burnt as fuel. So that leaves a 42% waste. It's not a very economical fuel, is it? And that waste, as we looked at earlier, is a very acidic waste. It's a high sulfur waste. And whenever you've got an acidic environment in the body uses calcium. So the calcium comes along to negate the sulfur residue from breaking down of the meat in the body. How much does that leave? How much calcium left for the body? None. The countries in the world that consume the highest amounts of meat and dairy products have the highest incidence of osteoporosis. So where are we going to get our calcium from? Well, as I showed you earlier, bones aren't made of calcium. They're made out of a whole range of minerals. And dark green leafy vegetables are a great source. Dark green leafy vegetables are high in the mineral balance and proportion as is found in the bones. The other area you'll get this same proportion, remember Dr. Robert Thompson, who wrote the book The Calcium Lie, he says the clearest indicator to him of a creator God is seawater. It's got those same mineral balance and proportion. Celtic salt. You don't have to drink the seawater. Just take that Celtic salt a little before every glass of water. But what's happening is there are some things that need to be stopped because they're leaching the minerals out. That's the caffeines, that's the refined sugars, alcohol, and also the tobacco. Can you see what's happening with a lot of people today? They're drinking the milk, hoping to get calcium, but they are not. And by the way, if they drink the milk and have a big steak too, there is so much waste from the steak as well. There's not enough calcium to negate that residue. And so then the calcium is pulled out of the bones. There's your osteoporosis. They're not having salt because they're told that they have to stop the salt. And in my next presentation, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the different salts and the effect that they have on the body. A lot of people don't eat dark green leafy vegetables. A lot of people are doing this. So no wonder we have a situation where we have so much disease on the planet. Ellen White says in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. And that is our aim in giving you these presentations, is that you can be aware of these principles to get better health.